Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title really fast.
I'm Robert Eisenstein, one of the co-artistic directors of the Folger Consort.
And we are talking, of course, because this weekend kicks off a virtual version of Christmas with the Folger Consort. It'll be streaming from December 11th through January 5th. Thanks so much for doing this. I guess that's where we should start is, I know, how long have you been doing this? I know it's over 4 decades, you and your partner in crime. Tell me how long you've been doing it and how, oh my God, there's a pandemic. What are we going to do this year?
That's right, Jason. Well, of course, we've all had to make some adjustments this year. Christopher Kendall and I have been with the Folger Consort. Actually, we helped start it with a former colleague, Scott Rice, who's no longer with us. 44 years ago. So we've been doing these Christmas concerts at the Folger Library and various other locations around DC for a very long time. And we were not about to let the tradition go this year. So we're very delighted that we've been able to do a virtual version. We were able to sneak in 6 performers at once in the spacious nave of St. Mark's Episcopal right across the street from the Folger. And, by following all pandemic restrictions, we were still amazingly able to get this wonderful program together.
Awesome. So you snuck them in there 6 at a time. And then I assume you edited it together. And how long is the finished piece that we'll watch?
The finished program will be a little bit over an hour, and it's not so different from what our in-person concerts would be, if you consider that we usually have an intermission for those. No intermission necessary in a virtual concert, of course, although anyone can pause at any moment.
Gotcha. I want to talk about the actual, the holiday music and stuff in a second. But first, give me an overview. Maybe let's say some of our listeners are unfamiliar with the consort itself. Explain what it means that you guys specialize in early music. Give me what that means time period wise and how you guys uniquely perform on those early 18th century instruments because of that.
That's right. The whole area, we actually prefer the term these days, historically informed performance, which has a really great acronym, HIP. So HIP performance, involves using as much as is possible the tools that were used when the music was first composed. And the techniques that were used when the music was first composed. So we apply these different styles and different instruments to music from the early Middle Ages till, the 18th century. And this program contains music from the 17th and 18th centuries, including some pieces from my, I like to think of him as my Boston neighbor, William Billings, in the 18th century.
Yeah, when I was reading about this, just researching ahead of time, that was one of the parts that jumped out to me was this colonial era composer, William Billings. He published the first collection of American music called the New England Psalm Singer. And I think it was the title page has Paul Revere's signature. So cool. Revolutionary War stuff.
Did the actual engraving of the front piece for that.
Could you let me take that back, actually, because I can't use the soundbite if I'm the one who said all of it. So why don't you sort of let me phrase it this way. Who was William Billings, and tell me what was cool about the New England Psalm Singer?
Sure. William Billings was a guy from colonial Boston. His family was a family of tanners, and he followed in that trade, but he became a singing master. He published the first collection of music published in the New World, and Paul Revere did the front piece. So it's a whole colonial thing. In fact, during the Revolutionary War, because Billings was very patriotic, and wrote a lot of patriotic anthems, he became very, very popular during the Revolutionary War. And his music is great. It's kind of rough hewn and definitely has that American flavor to it.
I love it. So in terms of this particular concert, you'll be performing some William Billings stuff. And then also you'll be doing Green Sleeves, which explain to our listeners why we all know that. I mean, it's sort of the same melody as what Chow's this, right?
That's right. And Greensleeves is a very old English tune, probably goes back to the 16th century, but it was very popular to use it as a melody for new words during the 16th and 17th centuries. And some of the new words got associated with Christmas. So that's why we associate that melody with the Christmas season. So we'll be doing an instrumental version of it. Risa Browder, our wonderful violin colleague, will be playing some variations on it. And we'll also do a vocal version of it on the program.
Just to unpack that a little more, I've always wondered, do you know how that transition actually happened? You know, you read the lyrics of Greensleeves, and then how did it become What Child Is This? How did that metamorphosis happen?
Well, it's kind of a part of the tradition, really, because a tune like Greensleeves, which probably, who knows where it comes from, traditional folk, you know, we don't know the actual name of the composer or composers, but throughout the centuries in England, and then later other places, people have been putting different words to it. So this is an old 16th century tradition, and we just continue it by putting What Child Is This to it. The words we're using are actually old English Christmas words, so not those words.
Gotcha. So what else can we, are you allowed to tease anything else we'll hear in the, you know, the quote unquote set list, you know? So we'll have Greensleeves. What else, what other songs might be featured?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to talk a little bit about the other two main chunks of the program besides the traditional English and American set. We'll start the program with music by Michael Praetorius. And speaking of new words for old tunes, most people are familiar with Lo, How a Rose Air Blooming, which is actually an old Lutheran hymn. And Michael Praetorius was this wonderful early 17th century Lutheran composer. If you're familiar at all with early 17th century Christmas music, you probably know Michael Praetorius's music, whether you know it or not. A lot of very popular melodies, including that one. Essistein Rosensprungen is the original, but Lo, How a Rose Air Blooming will do just fine. So we're starting with that, and the whole concert is framed, our original concept was to use the old Lutheran chorale, Wachet Auf, which is a chorale, a hymn for the beginning of the Christmas season. So we'll start with a version of that by Praetorius, and then the concert ends with Johann Sebastian Bach's great cantata, BWV 140, which is based on the same chorale. It's just magnificent music.
Awesome. So just to make sure I have the order correct, you have Michael Praetorius first, and then... Mm-hmm. There's two Michael Praetorius things here listed, right?
Well, there's a bunch, actually. It's a combination of some instrumental music from his collection of dances and a few Christmas pieces.
Okay, cool. So we got Praetorius first, then you go into the William Billings stuff and Ravenscroft, Greensleeves, that kind of stuff, and then you finish on Bach's cantata. Is that right?
That's correct. Okay. The only caveat is that because of the pandemic restrictions, we couldn't do the first movement of the Bach cantata because that calls for way more than six people, and there was no way to get it done. So we've substituted the first stanza of the chorale with another setting by Praetorius. But then, amazingly, we were able to do the rest of the cantata with only six. Well, I'm going to say six plus people, because in fact, in person, there were never more than six people performing at a time in our recording. But then Christopher Kendall and I contributed a few tracks after the fact to make things a little bit more full. And actually, for one of the movements in the Bach, it really was necessary to have another violin part, so I supplied that just to make it sound right. So even though Christopher Kendall and I weren't on site for the recording, we'll be there audibly.
yeah, I'm sure Bach had no way of predicting the pandemic. So
that's right. Now, one interesting thing though is that Bach, you know, this cantata is scored for full string choir, you know, two violins, viola, cello, double bass, organ, two oboes, a tenor oboe, and a bassoon, and choir. We couldn't do that with six people, but on the other hand, Bach, as a municipal employee in Leipzig, was always complaining about what penny pinchers the city council was, and he never had enough musicians. He never had as many musicians as he wanted, so he probably would have understood this context.
Probably. Awesome. Well, tell us a little bit more about yourself. I think you know, this, you yourself sort of blend traditions and then new technologies like the consort. I mean, I've read here that you enjoy some throwback comforts like horseback riding, but you also teach courses in, you know, cutting edge music technology. So you're a bit of a conundrum yourself.
I think you find that most of us who are involved in this historically informed performance area have also a real attraction to contemporary music and contemporary techniques. I think that's one reason why you see now so many of my colleagues being able to put together these wonderful virtual performances. We're very happy to use the technology. That's not a problem at all. And yeah, and my other hat is as the director of the Five College Early Music Program up here in Western Massachusetts. And I teach music history and direct student performances, and I have done some teaching in music technology as well. So yeah, I mean, you know, and I do love to play modern music, contemporary music.
I love it. Well, this is going to be a really cool thing, and I know you've been doing it for 44 years, but this year will be unlike any. You'll remember this one forever because 2020 is a unique year.
I don't think any of us will forget this year. So I just wanted to say one other thing, Jason, if I may, sure. Which is that, you know, for your audience, people who are not familiar with this style of music, give it a try. It's not something you need to know anything about to enjoy. It's just really wonderful, delightful, and entirely appropriate music for the season. So I hope you'll join us.
Yeah, it'll get us in the holiday spirit. And sort of to your point, the holidays is a good sort of gateway entry point maybe to this type of music for a lot of people because they want to hear their favorite carols and they're obsessed with it and they keep seeing, you know, other things you guys do. I mean, how many shows do you do throughout the year? I mean, it's not just holiday shows.
That's right. In a normal season, we do 5 or 6 weekends of music. Each concert is performed more than once. We always have an annual performance at Washington National Cathedral. Usually that's in the winter, but this year we hope we're going to be able to do that by May. So we're still holding out hope that we'll have our big Washington Cathedral performance in May. And so, you know, the plans for the rest of this season are still a little bit up in the air. We have 5 concerts ready to go, but we'll just have to see what happens.
Yep, stay tuned. And until then, you can check out the Christmas with the Folger Consort, a nice virtual concert here running December 11th through January 5th. You can stream it literally on Christmas if you want. So thank you so much for doing this. It was great meeting you, and I'm sure we'll talk again.
My pleasure, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
Same to you.